for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December the 31st, 2001. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
We're testing out spirits. This afternoon, I'm going to do something different. We'll see what kind of, if we do deliverance afterwards as the Lord leads. But I'm going to teach on the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I'm going to teach on the blood. I was talking to the Lord this morning, and I had wanted to share on the soul, and the Lord's put me in this. So if you will, open your Bibles to Genesis and chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this afternoon as your children. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us, this beautiful sunshine that we've had. Father, we thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you for all that you give unto us that pertains to life and godliness. And Father, we pray now as we open the word that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll, Lord, reveal yourself to us, reveal the things that you would have us to know. Lord, we're your children, and we thank you that you love us and that, Father, when we ask, we receive from you, because you said when we pray that we're to ask, and so, Father, we ask, and we thank you, and we receive, and we thank you for all that you've done for us this week, all that you've given unto us, and all that you've, every need that you've met this week, Father, and the people, the deliverance has come forth. We thank you for it. And, Lord, we thank you for all the good reports that we've had, and we just praise you and give you glory and honor now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother Bob goes to talking about me. I want to run because I can't live up to what he says. But, you know, I say this, the Lord has really blessed me this week when I share with the women, with the ladies. They say, you know, we enjoy the other ministers, but you kind of get down there where we are, so it's real easy to just share with women. But I'm just a plain person, and the Lord knows where I come from, and He knows where I am, and He knows how to. He knows me inside and out. My prayer to the Lord lately has been, Lord, when you talk to me, so I can hear you and understand you, because you know where I'm walking. You know how to get through to me. And he doesn't talk to me in thee and thou and old English language. He just talks to me in plain old English like I can understand. So that's me. Anyways, in Genesis in chapter 3, I want to share on the blood. And I want to share who we are in Christ Jesus through the shed blood of Jesus. I quote these scriptures a lot of times when I'm doing warfare. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and we need to know how to appropriate the blood in warfare. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I did deliverance this afternoon, or this must have been this morning. I was in deliverance with someone, and the Lord was telling, had me just really just say, you know, we need to get honest with the Lord. We need to look at ourselves instead of looking at everyone else. I know we're not to dwell upon ourselves, but many times we criticize and tear people down, and I don't know what this has got to do with what I'm going to share, but this is the way the Lord is leading me. But we need to look at me. I need to look at me. You need to look at you. And see what, you know, we can look out and God will show us things, and we preach and share on that. But you know, sometimes, I don't remember who I heard say, and I've said this for years, that when I point my finger, when I'm talking about something, and people, you know, take it as you're talking about me, well, I got three fingers coming back at me. And so we need to really look at ourselves, and I'll say something else. I don't know what other deliverance workers do, ministers do, but I receive deliverance continually.
Amen.
Because if I'm doing deliverance, I need to receive it. I hear people say, well, I got delivered so many years ago. Well, good. Get some more.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, Jesus said, when he washed the disciples' feet, and Peter said, you can't wash mine. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not clean. And what he was saying, what I see that he was saying there, that as we walk through this world, even though we've washed our feet, and here's what he's talking to them, you wash your feet, you get out in the dust, you're going to pick up. And we get deliverance, and then yet we're walking in the world, we pick up spirits, and we need to continually have her once in a while and get a thorough cleansing. We all need it, and especially I think deliverance preachers do, ministers do. I think they truly do, because we can get bound up and not know it. The enemy can deceive you. And so I miss my husband because he used to be the one that ministered to me, and now I have to get all the church on me. They like it. And also my son does a lot of deliverance on me. I praise the Lord for that. So, okay. In Genesis, in the third chapter, in verse 20, 21, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong one again. In verse 20, and scripture says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Wait a minute, that's not the scripture I want. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, I was thinking it was another one. What I wanted to show here, this is the first blood that was shed for covering. Adam and Eve sinned after they sinned and disobeyed God. I heard someone, I think it was Dr. Noel yesterday or someone say, when women attacked or get attacked because they wear fur, because of protecting the animals and so forth and so on, they'll use the scripture when they come against you for it. The first clothing that God made for man was fur. He killed some animals and made a covering for them. But the blood had to be shed for the sin. That was my point. As that for the sin that they had committed, when God made them clothing, there was bloodshed. Animals were slain, and the blood was that was the first mention of the blood being shed in the scripture. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Praise you, Lord. You know, as I was studying this morning, and you look and see what the blood of the animals, what in chapter 12, what God said about the destroyer couldn't enter in the household when the blood was applied. You think about how much greater it is with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, chapter 12 and verse 3 says, let's go with verse 1. And the Lord God spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father. Fathers, a lamb for house. And if the household be too small, too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house. If you notice this at the beginning, when God was talking about applying the blood, that the lamb was slain for a household. And then we go on over into the New Testament, when Christ's blood was shed, we apply it personally to ourselves. But here we see, he said, take a lamb for a house. And then he said, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him and to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, he shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. As I was reading that, the Lord reminded me there in that verse where he said the whole congregation of the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. When Jesus was crucified, who crucified him? Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God said, take the blood and apply it. And you know, that still applies today. Of applying the blood, we have to apply. We don't just a person doesn't just walk into salvation without receiving it and apply and accepting what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. And so here we see that God says, "Put the blood on the door post of your house, apply it there." And then He said in verse 22, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it, the lintels and the two side posts." With the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintels and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house, under your house to smite you. God said, if they would obey him and put the door blood on the doorpost, the destroyer could not enter in. Now, stop and think. This is the blood of an animal God's talking about. And they said, well, that's in the Old Testament. That's true. But my point is, if the blood of an animal would protect from destruction, how much more the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied, appropriated, and applied. And so I think about this sometimes and yesterday I was sitting over here when Dr. Nolan's mentioned I had was under attack. I mean, a tremendous attack on my head. Sinuses were clogging up, and I couldn't see out of this eye. It felt like it was going to pop out, and it hurt down here. And I was sitting there, and I was saying, Father, by the blood of shed blood of Jesus, I rebuke the enemy off of my eye. I command that thing to open up and drain, my sinuses open up and drain the way you created them. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me, Lord. Cleanse my blood. Cleanse me, Lord. And so as I sat there and prayed, I began to get deliverance. But it was still hurting. And it was not bad. It began to get better. And I'm saying this to say that this is the authority and the sin, the what God has given unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I went to eat dinner, I said I was going home. I was battling smuggleways on my feet. And so as I walked into the house, all of a sudden, it just opened up. And it began to drain. Now, I sat right there and did the deliverance and commanded it to obey. And, you know, from all purposes, that I still had the pressure there and the eye bothered me. But when I went in, and so I started praising the Lord, I said, Lord, I just thank you. You know, we pray, and when God does something, sometimes we just get so excited. And I was really excited because I had been miserable for quite a while. The heat in here, the warmth made it worse. But when we stand upon His Word and take the authority, I taught on the authority of the believer yesterday, so ladies upstairs, we have authority. We have authority to use His name. We have authority to come against the enemy. And we need to appropriate it. You know, no, I won't say that. Unless you bring it back and want me to, Lord. But anyways, let's go on. Let's go to Isaiah. I guess my problem is that I've been around so much sickness lately, every time the Lord does something for me, I want to say, hey, come on, let's believe the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Let's stop trusting in the arm of the flesh. Amen. We trust in the arm of the flesh, which is the man. And we need to put our trust, our faith in God and in His Word, in the authority He's given us, in who He is, and start walking as who He's called us to be, and not have to turn and run to man all the time for what we need.
Amen.
Believe God. Believe Him. He's, you know, there's a scripture over in, I think it's in Psalms, and says, our redemption was cost God much. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it didn't come cheap. And we act like it's just fire insurance sometimes. Did you ever hear anybody say that? It's almost like we just have a hard time believing God. And we need to really start believing Him, because people, He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us the Spirit of God to reveal things to us. He's given us His Word. He's given us the shed blood of Jesus. He's given us everything we need. You say, well, I do believe. Well, then we need to stand up and shout and praise God that we know the Word is true and it's working in us. It's the Word. It's the Word of God that we take and stand upon and believe. And I know, you know, I told my church, I've been teaching on faith. I don't know how long I've been teaching on faith and healing. When I need healing, I preach healing. And I said, I'm going to preach it to somebody who believes with me. You know why I'm preaching it? I was trying to think how many of the women that I know in our church is having so much, is going to the doctors. One lady goes every week to the doctor. And I'm not against doctors. Thank God for them, because if we didn't have doctors, a lot of us would already be gone off of this surface of this earth. But I'm saying, hey, when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to learn about the Word, I used to teach on healing. Who was it? King Asa, that had a sickness in his feet or something. He sought the physician and he died. That was one of my favorite topics. I taught that and taught that. I said, you don't need to go to the doctor, go to the Lord. I know people got sick of hearing that, but you know what I was doing? I was preaching it to me. And after the thing I preach to me, because I need it. And I tell my people in my church, I love them, and I said, if you don't want to walk with, go on with me, just, I can't help you. I mean, you know, you stay where you want to, do what you want to, explain you and God what you do. I said, all I can do is give you the Word. Isaiah 53 and verse 8 says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Excuse me. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By this his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And I was reading that this morning, and it said, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And I looked at that and see many. It didn't say everybody. What I was saying when I read that was that everybody wasn't going to believe him and receive it. And that's true, because everybody's not saved, are they? But it's for everybody. But you have to receive it. You know, anything we get from God, we have to receive. It's there. It's ours. But we have to receive it. And the verse I was coming to is verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion of the great with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I read over in the Exodus where the Word God told Moses for that were to sacrifice the lamb, Jesus the lamb. Let's go to John chapter 1. Here it says in Isaiah that he poured out his soul. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. In verse 36 says, And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for us. Over in the Old Testament, and when they kill the animals in the outer court, and then the blood that was taken in to cover, and you go, you know, I won't get into all of this, but I just said they killed the animals, and then they took the blood into the priest, high priest took it into the most holy place after he had already prepared himself to go in, and God received it as a covering for sin. But when our Lamb came, who is Jesus Christ, he came and took away our sins. He washed and cleansed us. And we'll give some scriptures on all that he did through the shed blood for us. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, when I read that, I think about a little lamb that you see, and I always think of once he went white, and the word says it was a lamb without spot or blemish. Over in chapter 12 of Exodus, it couldn't have a sore on it or a scant place. It had to be perfect. And they put it up and kept it in a pen so it would be ready for the slaughter. And here we see our lamb. And they cut the throat of that animal and let the blood drain out. And you see our lamb that was slain for us, Jesus. Over in Hebrews chapter 9, we just came through the holiday, coming through the holidays, and supposedly celebrating the birthday of Christ. And I'm saying supposedly because I had someone say to me today, Nimrod's birthday, we were celebrating Nimrod's birthday, which is true. And yet we say we're having a Mass for Christ, Christmas, Christmas, Christ Mass. And yet he came as a baby into the world, and he took on human form. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he didn't stay a baby. He came as a man, God's Son. And over in Hebrews in chapter 9, in verse 11, But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here we see that it talks about neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place. And you know, that tells me that as he entered, the blood was taken into the most holy place, and it tells us that the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden even polluted the very holy of holies in heaven. Because as you study Hebrews, it tells you that the blood was taken in and the utensils of the heavenly holy was cleansed by his blood. And God said he received it. You know, we think about when we sin, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But do we stop and remember how he did it, what he did for us, the suffering he took upon the cross, what he went through with the lashing on his back, the crown of thorns on his head, the nails in his hands and his feet, and the spear that went into his side. You know, the scripture said in Psalms that not a bone of him shall be broken. So when they came to see if he was dead, they stuck a spear in his side when the water and the blood came out. And they didn't break his bones, but they broke the two thieves that was on either side of him. They broke their legs so they couldn't push themselves up. You know, when they're on the cross, I read this years ago in a book that someone wrote on the day Christ died and said that their hands are up above their head on the cross. They couldn't breathe. It was hard to breathe. And they would push themselves up on their feet so they could breathe. And so when they didn't die, like they wanted them to take them down off the cross before the Sabbath, they came and broke their legs so they couldn't push themselves up anymore. Now you think about that. And when you think about the cross, you see him on that tree suffering for you and I. And he did it for us to receive what he did for us, the blood that he shed that was for our cleansing, for our justification, for our sanctification, for that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And here he says that in verse 14, he said, how much more? Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto purifying of the flesh. So here we can see that the blood was being used to sanctify us, to set us apart. You know, sanctification is set apart unto him. Okay, let's look over at verse 20. Saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there's no remission. And I want you to notice he said, by the sprinkling of the blood, it's not the pleading of the blood. Nowhere in the scripture do you find that it pleading of the blood is scriptural. We see it applied, we see it, the sprinkling, but it doesn't talk about being, that we plead the blood. That is not scriptural. And you know, we need to be scriptural in what we say when we're applying the blood. I tell the devil sometimes, hey, get your hands off of God's property. I'm blood bought. Paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart unto him. I'm justified. God sees me just as if I'd never sinned.
Amen.
And I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not me righteous, but I'm righteous in him. You have no right to me, devil. Get your hands off of God's property.
Amen.
You're trespassing.
Amen.
And I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to turn loose and get going.
Amen.
Let me go. Come out of me. I don't care if I'm in the middle of the wherever and something hit me. I say in the name of Jesus, get your hands off of me in Jesus' name. We have authority to use that name. The shed blood, the ransom of souls was precious unto God. That was a scripture I was trying to remember. Praise, thank you, Lord Jesus. God ransomed us. He bought us back out of the devil's hands with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 tells us that we were under the control of the God of this world. We walked in his. He'd say, come on, go this way. You went that way. You had nothing to keep you from going that way. But when you came to the Lord, you had the name of Jesus and your salvation. Say, no, devil, I don't have to listen to you anymore. We forget sometimes who we are. God says, hey, I paid a price for you. I paid to set my son to die upon the cross for you. You say, why are you sharing this with, teaching this afternoon? So we can remember who we are and what he did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Over in Leviticus 17, you know, I read that scripture in Isaiah where he poured out his soul into death. And verse 14 of Leviticus says, but it is the life of all flesh, the blood. So when Jesus hung upon the cross, his blood, he poured out his blood for us. You know, salvation was bloody. And some people don't want you to talk about the blood. But that's what he paid for us. So his blood redeemed us out of the hands of the devil. And yet we forget sometimes and the devil tries to walk over us and we have to stand up and say, no! He paid a price for us, a horrible price if you stop and think what he went through upon that cross. He shed blood. The Son of God that came to earth and took on a human form, that walked, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He walked the earth, went about healing people and telling them what they had. He told them that they didn't have to be sick. He went around healing people and they were healed. Those that would, but it said in Nazareth he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. But the thing is, he was showing us. He was showing us how to walk this walk. I don't read anywhere in there that the disciples were sick when they were with him.
That's right.
I don't see a scripture that tells us that they were. They were walking with the living word. And I believe that if we will take it and live it and believe it and walk in. You know, don't you pray sometimes, Lord, let the word become flesh in me? That's my desire, Lord. I'm not there, but I will be one day. I'm going to live to be 120, and I am. Glenn's going to be, let's see, he's going to be 120-something else. He's a little bit older than me. Praise the Lord. But the word is true. And so he said here that the life of the flesh is in the blood. He says, for it is the life of the flesh. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore, whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. You let somebody lose all their blood and they die. And the life is in the blood. So Jesus poured out his life for you and I. And that's what he's telling us here, and we're not to eat it. You know, go to Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at the verse there. Matthew 20, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me go back up. 28, I believe it is. 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The ransom was paid by his shedding of his blood. And I wanted to put that, us to see that. I know that we know it, but, you know, we need to remember he poured out his blood. You know, I think it's Joel 3:21 says that he would cleanse the blood that hasn't been cleansed. And you know, if we have blood problems, somebody came in just a minute ago and said that they'd come back from the doctor and they found that her husband was anemic. You know, God made this blood. I'm just far out enough to believe he can do anything.
Amen.
And if I need blood, my blood to be, has to be normal. In fact, I come against the enemy anytime he tries to do anything to my blood. You ever have, sometimes feel like, you ever go to bed at night and hear your heart beating in your ear, you know? I go to bed and hear my heart just beating, and I say, okay, heart, you beat normal in the name of Jesus. Father, you said you cleanse my blood. Now, if there's anything blocking or trying to block my heart, I ask you to cleanse it and drive it out of the veins and the arteries that my heart will function normally. And I say, Lord, I've had the devil tell me you have going to have a stroke, and I say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And Father, if there's any blockage in any veins and arteries in my body, I ask you to cleanse them by the shed blood of Jesus. And he does. You say, how do you know? Because it stops whatever the enemy is trying to do. Take authority. Do you ever take authority over your body?
Yes,
and say, body, line up with the word of God. Line up on line, precept on precept. Hear a little, he said, we learn that way. Hear a little and there, a little. Heart, beat normally in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Command you to beat normally in Jesus' name. Devil, get your hands off of it. Lungs, function normally. Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of people make fun of me because I preach this all the time. But you know what? A lot of them are going to doctors and taking medicine for it, too. And I would say, now I'm not condemning that, but I'm saying, hey, try. Try the word. Try the Lord. Tell your body to line up. Praying for a lady this morning, just having trouble getting up and down, and the Lord told me, said, stiff neck, bondage. I said, I could break that stiff neck right off of you in the name of Jesus. I command your back to be normal in Jesus' name. She said, that's right. I said, what did you do that for? What did you let that happen to you for? I heard her say out of her mouth, oh, I can't hardly get up my back. I said, command your bones to line up with the word of God.
Amen.
He's given you authority. Did you know this ground is the only ground I have authority over? Real authority.
Yes, ma'am.
I was made out of the dust of the ground. Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And your body's going back to the dust from which it came if Jesus doesn't come and change us into our glorified bodies here on earth. And he's going, I'm believing for that. But if he sees fit otherwise, then that's between him and what he wants to do with me. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep trusting and believing him that this dirt that I live in has got to come in line with the Word of God. This dirt, my husband used to say, I'm just going to unzip this thing, get out, and go on home. That's literally what happened to him, too. And the thing is, if you don't do that, start doing that. Start talking to your body, commanding it to function the way God intended for it to function. You will see God do it, and then it'll build your faith. You don't think getting rid of that pressure in my head last night didn't build my faith? Woo, glory. Glory to God. I'm telling you, every time he heals me, it builds my faith. I don't care if it's just that he healed my big toe this week. I don't care what he heals, it builds my faith. And I just keep believing him to do it. And we've got to believe. We've got to apply the blood. You know, what he did for us cost him everything. And he gave it to you and I, so let's appropriate it. We have to appropriate everything God has given us. He just doesn't automatically say, well, it's yours, and you can just... Well, he did. He said, it's yours. Now walk in it. But how do you walk in it? By appropriating it. By believing what the Word says. So, and I don't mean mental sinning. Let me tell you something. I have to tell you by myself because I don't know anybody else. But when you go through a lot of things and get around a lot of negative people, you know what I mean by negative people? It's always bad. Everything's bad. And if you're around a lot of people that are sick, guess what? You'll get sick too. You will. I said transference of spirits. I don't know, but it steals your foot. I'm trying to say it will steal your faith. You say, hey, line up with the Word of God. They kind of think I'm weird. You know, I really don't care. I don't have to please anybody but the Father.
That's right.
I have no boss over me.
God.
Just the Father. And I always mess up with him, but he straightens me out and forgives me.
Amen.
But the thing is, if we would just pray for a parking place, if you can't do anything, get breathing any other way.
That's right.
Well, I don't like to walk. I walk in store. I don't want to walk in the parking lot. And so I just say, I'm still doing it. I'm still praying for parking places. And I pray, say, Lord, don't let them leave till I get there. Because if somebody else comes up, they may pull in ahead of me, Lord, so keep it there until I get there. And they'll back out, and I park, stand there and wait for them, and then I move in. You say, that's silly. No, it's not. It builds my faith.
Amen.
Anything can build my faith, I'm going to let it work. I'm going to believe for it, because I want to be where I don't have to fight sickness off of me.
Amen.
I want to be where I walk in health. I'm not there yet, but I'm going. I still got a long ways to go. And I was thinking about 120 years. Let's see, that's a pretty good piece away. But it's still closer than I like to think. Praise the Lord. Brother back there was talking about being 50, being just a little spring chicken. And here are these old hens. Oh, my Lord. Oh, man. Anyway, let's go to 1 John. Get me out of this, Father. Praise the Lord. You know, if you can't have fun, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I said, Lord, restore my joy. I was going around, was so tired. Well, everybody around me was complaining about sickness, and I was fighting a battle, so I just dragged. I said, my tail feathers were like an old rooster, his tail feathers were dragging. And I said, Father, the Word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So, Lord, I'm waiting upon you, but in the meantime, restore my joy, because the Word says the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I want my strength back. And you know, he did it. And you know, he started really restoring my joy, double portion over here, I think it was the first night of the meeting, maybe the second night of the camp meeting. I was sitting over there. Fern and I were sitting there, and we both got hit by the spirit of laughter. And I know we were bothering everybody else, but the Lord was ministering to us. And I needed it. I don't know about her, but I needed it. And the thing is, we did get a look or two from a few people, but we didn't stop. We just said, okay, Lord, here we are. So you get to the place where you don't care what people think. You don't want to upset them. If they get upset, well, we pray for them. But you just go on with whatever the Lord wants to do, you know. I'm telling you, you know, our problem is we've got to please people. And we can't do it and please God. So, okay, I'll go on. I saw that bored look, so I'll go on. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And he goes on to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh, I'm walking in the things of the Lord. Self-righteousness. I don't know anybody that doesn't sin. Most of us sin with this thing. And God says, His Word says, if we say we haven't sinned, we're a liar. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that up on the wall in our church. And we have a lot of scripture up on the wall in our church. I'd like to remind people, let's put it this way. When I'm doing deliverance, I like to have the word up to remind the devil that there's a hedge around the place. But the word is so important, and we need to confess our sin. You know, I told you I ministered to this lady, and Lord told me to tell her, and I'm saying this because a lot of us do this. You are listening to the wrong spirit. You have a friend that is feeding your negative spirit, and you're feeding hers. You need to repent. He said, you said that? Yeah, I did. The Lord told me to tell her. And when I said it to this lady, she saw it. And she began to weep. And I said, you know, the Word tells us that spirits transfer.
Yes, they do.
He said, you know, Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly. And then if you want to see the spirits transfer, go over to Numbers. When the children of the spies came back out of spying out the land, look how unbelief and doubt transferred. 2 of them believed, 10 didn't. And the whole nation of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years because of that transference of spirit of unbelief. And so that spirit will transfer and keep you from believing. You say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe He healed me. I got this problem, so I'm going to believe God. And you confess it to the Lord, and you say it out loud, and the devil hears you. And we do confess it to the Lord. But we need to start binding the ears of the devil, the demons. I'm saying devil, but I'm talking about demons, and gag them so they can't hear. Do you ever stop to think that the devil, demons around you are hearing what you say, and they take that and use it against you? So you said, Lord, I'm believing You. I know You healed me 2,000 years ago, so I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ, and no weapon formed against me prospers. Praise the Lord. I'm believing. I'm going to walk in it. Well, the telephone rings. Guess what? One of Job's comforters called you to tell you it's not going to work. I'm not kidding. And you take care of that. And a little bit, somebody knock on your door, ring your doorbell, and here they come in, and all you hear is, I went to the doctor, I had this, I got that, and nothing works. I'm just so sick. I'm just blah, 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 blah. And the enemy steals the words that you just spoke. He heard you, so he saw he'd help you out. Out of what you believe, out of what you believe God for. And so we need to remember that when we're speaking. You know, the Word tells us that life, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Well, I'm really going nowhere, Lord. That's okay. I don't care. And we need to be careful what we say. We need to speak life. You know, Jesus said, John, in the sixth chapter of John, the 63rd verse, He said His words were spirit and their life. Our word, we're made in His image. Genesis 2:7 tells we're made in the image of God. He made, created man in His image. And our words either bring life or death. They're spirit. And when you speak against
or condemn or judge a brother, you've loosed judgment upon them. You've loosed words upon them that can hurt them. That's why I said we sin with our tongue, and we need to be careful of what we say. The Word tells us also that we'll give account of every idle word we speak. And what does that mean? Non-working words. Words that do not produce fruit. And when you stop to think what He has given unto us through His shed blood, we don't have to do that. But we have to change the way we talk. We have to change the way we think. And we have to choose to either be offended by what people say or not. Did you know you have to choose that? You can be offended by something that, well, say for instance what I'm saying, you may not like it. If you want to be offended, you can. You don't have to be. And I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just saying that I have a friend that said, I have told the Lord that I am choose not to be offended by what people say to me. And I thought, that's really good. Choose not to be offended. Close your ears to that. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5. In verse 8, yep, I'm in 4, no wonder it looked wrong. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. See, we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. God sees us justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God can't look upon sin, so He sees us through the shed blood of Jesus. And we're justified. He looks at you and I as if we never sinned. Did you know that? That's what the word justified means. And He said, He sees us. He's justified us through the shed blood. He said, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're reconciled. We have been reconciled back to God. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation to share Jesus Christ with others, but He has reconciled us to Himself, and He's given us that authority to go forth and share with others. And He said, not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we are justified by His blood, we're cleansed by His blood, and we're reconciled to Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the whole thing of what I'm sharing is that saying this afternoon is God wants us to become one with Him. One with Him. Lord, I think I might have shared this. I don't remember if I shared it upstairs or down here, but I was sitting back there the other day when Brother Roberts, somebody was preaching. I don't know who was preaching on what God wants with us, how He wants us to be totally dependent upon Him. And it was Rod who put the wedding ring on and so forth. And the Lord was showing me that as man and woman, over in Genesis 2, when God says when a man takes a wife, that he's to leave father and mother, and that they are to become one flesh. A man and his wife are to become one flesh. And when we don't always begin married life together, but the marriage act, the sex act, is the beginning. There's a covenant cut. There's bloodshed, supposed to be. Nowadays, who knows? But the thing is, God meant for that blood, that covenant, to be cut through the marriage vows, and they become one. And as they grow together, they become more and more one. And the Lord was showing that to me when I was sitting back there, that why it hurt so bad when I lost my husband, because it felt like I was ripped apart. It literally felt like I had been ripped apart. I mean, it hurt, and the pain didn't go away for a while. And as I was sitting there, He said to me, now that's what I want for you and me, to become that one. That's what we want, isn't it? And all we've got to do is to make Him Lord, obey His word, and trust Him. So simple. And study His word, and more we study Him, the word become flesh. He's the word. He's the living word. And He comes in us when we're born again by the Spirit. And as we feed Him, as we feed upon the word, then He matures in us. to where there's not supposed to be any of us left, just him. But most of the time, it's more of so much of us and so very little of him. Amen? Okay. Let's go back to Hebrews in chapter 13. I don't know if y'all getting anything out of this or not, but I pray you do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. He said in 12, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, well, let me back up. Let's start with verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. See, he's still the same. He's not changed. Everything we look back at the miracles and things he did back in the scriptures, but see, he's still the same today. And he wants us to walk in all that he gave us. And if we'll receive it, believe it, and receive it, we will. So how do you do that? Little by little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And he said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied there. And we have an altar whereof there have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, but for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside without the gate. And what he's saying there, that the lost people that don't know Jesus, well, he said that they can't eat or partake of the food. And what do we partake of? What did Jesus say over in John? He said, you cannot be my disciple unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many of them left him when he said that to them. They didn't understand what he was saying. And what way I see that is, he was saying, you must eat this word, let it become flesh in you. And as you do that, then we're changed into his likeness. And we do that by receiving what he's given unto us. Romans chapter 3. I did a study once, a teaching several years ago on the whole book of Gospel of John. Took it verse by verse. I don't remember how long it took me to do it, but it was quite a while. Romans chapter 3, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the book of John. In verse 22. For all of even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And I think that was the verse I was going to start with. It didn't sound like it, but I'm going to go on. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that it might be just, and the justifier of him which believed in Jesus. So, he said that all of our sins, past sins, are taken care of. And we know that. But it's the little foxes today that spoil the vine. Jesus said that we need to take care of the little, small things that we do and say where we hurt people and so forth. But here we said, being justified freely by his grace. You know, it's his grace. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We're covered by the grace of God. And I get up of a morning and I thank him for his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And his grace is sufficient for every need in our lives. He's taken care of every need by grace in our lives if we will appropriate it. Romans 4 and verse 3 says, let me start verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And to receive, for it to be counted unto, for us to receive the righteousness of God, all we've got to do is believe him. Believe what he said and receive it. We mental assent so much of God's word. And the Lord told me that we walk in so much presumption, presuming because we know about it that it's going to work in our lives. Just knowing it does not What does James say? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And I know when I was in the Baptist church, we used to talk, well, we didn't, but we were told that the Church of Christ were working their way to heaven. And after I was in Baptist church a while, I realized that we were too.
Yeah.
Honestly. You go in, and I'm not putting them down, but I'm saying this is what we do. We know what the Word says, but we don't do anything about it. I used to go to training union every Sunday night and sit in the class, and Jim and I'd be sitting back there, and I'd say, honey, what are we training for? We trained and trained and trained, but they never did tell us what we were training for. And they wanted us, I'm saying this, We knew the word on salvation. We knew what's the Baptist teaching on salvation. And I have to say this about the Baptist because I was one most of my life. I did slip out of Baptist church one time, and we went to Presbyterian, and we stayed there a little while, but we went back to the Baptist. And we went back to the Baptist after being in Presbyterian church when they said that Baptist was praying for the sick. We couldn't believe it. We'd never seen the Baptist church pray for the sick. We thought we had arrived. I mean, we got there where they was believing that if it was God's will, we'd get healed. If it was God's will. But that was wonderful. We'd been Baptist church all our life. We never heard that before. And what I'm saying, the whole thing is, you can know it. But if you never walk in it and never act upon it, it doesn't do you a bit of good. You can know about Jesus. People can know about Jesus. You know, the devil, the Word tells us in James that the devil, the demons know who God is, who Jesus Christ is. They believe and tremble. They believe. They tremble. So we need to see if we're trembling because we know who God is and what God's saying. He said, well, you're being real nasty. No, I'm trying to get you to wake up. Hey, wake up. And see the Word work for us. He shed His blood. He justified us. He cleansed us. He redeemed us. He washed us in His blood. Abraham looked to the cross. We look back to the cross. All the Old Testament saints looked to the cross, looked forward to the coming. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah. They put their faith in what God told them. And we put our faith in the cross that has already been the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we appropriate, we have to appropriate what He's done for us. And when we do, we walk as overcomers. Man, God wants us to be overcome. Do you know that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the earnest of salvation? And God is showing me that a true believer over in Ezekiel, when the man with the inkhorn goes out and marks them, the mark of a true believer, the intercessor, but those that are believing God and standing up on His Word and praying for the church. You know what they were praying for? Was the abominations in the church. Y'all read chapter 9. I believe it's chapter 8 where He anoints them, He marks them. And chapter 1 of the chapters, one of the other, talks about the abomination that's going on in the church. And who's the church? Do you think... Yeah, I'm going to get to meddling. I've been meddling. Do you think that we are walking where God wants us to walk? If we can go over to, where's that gambling place? Tunica. And go in among the heathens and put God's money in a slot machine or whatever the things are. And then we can go over. You say, well, you're talking about doing things. But let me ask you something. If someone's in there playing a slot machine and Jesus came back, would they be ashamed? What I'm saying is, some of the things we do is not honor the Lord. And we need to honor Him. I'm going to really meddle. Now, how do I say this, Lord? Your body is a temple of God, isn't it? And I'm going to talk about, I'm fixing to say something about smoking, but let me tell you, we can do the same thing with overeating. Did you know the glutton is right there in the Scripture, right next to the drunkard? Every time, several times in Proverbs and over in, and when it mentions gluttony, it also talks about a drunkard. And we condemn alcoholics. You know, they need to be delivered. Sure they do. They need Jesus. They're trying to fill a void in their life. They're drinking and drugging and doing all this because they don't have Jesus Christ. But the thing is, if we overeat, we're doing the same thing. We're sinning against God's body. I used to smoke years ago, a long time ago. I'm not proud of it. And I was a I was a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church. I came out of church one Sunday morning. I tell them myself. I can't tell anybody else. I tell them myself. I came out of church, and I couldn't wait to get out after church so I could go smoke a cigarette. And I went out, got in the car, ran off and left Jim home where he was talking to someone. I went out and sat down, and I taught Sunday school. And I pulled a cigarette out of my purse, got a cigarette lighter. I started to light a cigarette. And I looked up and saw some little girls that I taught in Sunday school come across the parking lot. And I stuck it down like that. And I heard God say, "What are you hiding it for? I see it every time you do it." And I said, "But Lord." He said, "Yeah." And God convicted me, so convicted me, that I threw, when we started home, I threw it all away. And never once had a desire or taste or craving for one. Never. God delivered me from it. Just like that. He said, "I see everything you do." So, we need to take care of this body of ours, okay? That didn't cost you a thing. Where was I? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Forgive me, Lord. I read Romans 4, then. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm getting close to being through, I think. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." God redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the lamb that had neither spot nor wrinkle. Okay? He said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. He said we were redeemed not with silver and gold, something much, much, much more precious. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I sometimes think when we do the things that, well, Hebrews tells us we do. When we do things we know we shouldn't do as believers, we're trampling on the blood of Jesus and putting it underfoot. You know, Hebrews 6 says, leaving the principles of doctrines of baptism and working of miracles and going on into perfection, if God would permit. Just ask God. I know everybody says we're going on into perfection, but ask God. God, the Word says, if God permits, if God would permit. I know He wants us to, but I believe He put that there so that if we really want to go on in perfection, maturity, and to grow up in Him and to know and walk in what the Word says, that we, when He, it will ask Him, "Lord, I want to go on past all this, past deliverance, you know. I know we need deliverance. We're going to need deliverance till we get there. But not just concentrate. Not having to do deliverance on myself every day.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of casting out demons all the time, as the same people said. And I do that in my church. See me like every time I go in there, one of them's got a pain somewhere or something. And they want me to cast it out. Or they want me to bind them. And God's given them the authority to bind. He's given you and I the authority to bind and loose and to cast out. And it's time we grow up in Him and let the Word become flesh in us and walk in it and be like Peter and Paul walking down the street. And did you ever walk down the street and have people say something back to you that don't even know you? And I don't mean good things. I mean, you know, whatever. And then there's those others that'll smile at you. You walk by one that doesn't know the Lord, and the spirits in them don't like it. They recognize the spirit in you. And then you can walk other times with down the people that know Jesus, and you fellowship. You know, there's communion in the spirit. You're not saying a word. You can fellowship almost in that way. You know, they see it. But God wants us to come on in and grow up in Him, so we're not always casting out spirits. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, I'm in John, that doesn't look right, does it? It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Go to Revelation 12. I ain't done a lot of preaching from Revelation lately. I got to get, Lois has been telling me to get back in it. I used to do a lot of teaching out of Revelation on the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon, and destruction, and all of this. We need to know that we're in a time that we're fighting stuff like that. If you haven't run into any, if you're in deliverance, you will. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." It tells us we overcome the enemy, him, by the blood of the Lamb. How do you do that? And by the word of the testimony. How do you apply that to overcome the enemy when he comes at you? Said, I showed you a while ago, told you a while ago, said, "Devil, get your hands off of me. My testimony. I'm born again. I'm blood bought. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You have no right to me." Sickness, disease. Lady told me, said, "I'm having a terrible time with my mind." I said, "Rebuke the tormentors. They torment your mind, those little imps, inside or out, come up and tell you all these good things about yourself and what everybody else thinks about you. Tormentors. Rebuke them. You've got authority." What did the word say? Rebuke the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit to God. Thank you. Submit to God. You better be submitted to God before you do any of it. I have a lady in my church that says, "I just hate the devil. I just hate the devil." I said, "Joyce, that didn't do a bit of good." She'll get the state. She always does. She orders them. You got to take authority over him. Hating him, he don't care if you hate him. He hates you too. The enemy hates us. He wants to kill us. I'm trying to tell you, through the blood, we got life. Stand up on the word. They overcame the devil by the blood and by the blood of the Lamb. I've shown you that Jesus is the Lamb. You know that, but he was a Lamb sacrificed for our sins. And we stand upon what he did to overcome everything the enemy throws at us. I don't care what it is. I just feel foregone. I hadn't done it in a while. But my husband had a truck one time, a van that wouldn't run. It broke down. He had it pulled in by wrecker. Sit in the yard for a year and a half, and I got tired of it, and I said, "I want you to risk a prayer of that truck and command it to run in the name of Jesus." He said, "Honey, this, that," and I don't remember what he said. I said, "I don't care." I got me a bottle of oil and poured all over it, and I laid hands up, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you run in Jesus' name. I break every curse over you in Jesus' name." Jim says, well, he don't tell you what he said. Anyways, he jumped it off, and it ran, and he drove it. Until he bought a car. He didn't even trade it in. He sold it. I promise you it ran. Now, we were going to a meeting one night. I'm telling you, this is believing the word. It's not us. It was the word. We were going to a meeting, and it was hot in the summertime. Way over in Arkansas. We used to drive. We didn't care where we had to go, how far we had to go to a meeting. We was trying to find where God was because we couldn't find him where we were. So we were driving along. The air conditioner went out. Hot. Oh, it was hot. So we stopped at a place to eat dinner, and I didn't do this. My husband did it. And we went in there eating. He says, "I'll be back in a minute." And he went out. He came back in and said, "The air conditioner's fixed." I said, "What did you do? Did you get somebody to fix it?" "Yeah." He said, "God did." He said, "Laid hands on it, commanded it to work." It worked till we traded the car. Now, you can believe it or not, I still don't care, but I know that it happened. And I want to believe like that again, and I am.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Beginning, when you first received the Lord in the Spirit, you could believe God for anything. Amen. What happened? Because we listened to all the unbelieving people that said you couldn't do that. Amen. And you know what? Foy on them. That's the best thing I can think of. If they want to go there, we can go without them. I tell my kids, "I don't go to hell for none of you. I love you. God loves you more than I do. But you're in God's hand. And I'm going on. You can go with me or stay home. I just don't care." I do care, but I wouldn't go with them no bit. Because if they thought I really cared, they'd run the other way. You know, rebellion, all that stuff. But every one of my kids were saved. Every one of them. I didn't do it. God did it. God told me to turn them loose. He said, "Turn them loose. Give them to me." And I did. I cast my cares on him. Because he cares for me. Romans chapter 12. You know what God told me? He said, "God talked to you." And he does. When I get still long enough for him to do it. He really does. And he said to me, he said, "As long as you got your children, I can't do anything with them." He said, "You get in my way." He told me praying what I wanted him to do for my kids was wrong. He told me to trust him. So when I pray for my children, I say, Lord, your word says that thou shalt be saved in thy house. So here's my kids. And I thank you for what you're going to do in their life. You know how to do it, and you know when to do it and where to do it, and so I leave them in your hands. And it took a while, but he did it. He did it. Because we backed off and said, they're yours, Lord. We cast them over on the Lord. Chapter 12 of Romans in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says that we're to present our bodies to him a living sacrifice, and that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we need to call our mind back. It's part of our soul. And ask God to instill in us. He says, but you have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to do it. He said, but you have the mind of Christ. I've got the mind of Christ. God, your word says I've got the mind of Christ. And I shall restore every part of my mind and cleanse it. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind in Christ? That he trusted and believed the Father. He believed God in every word. He always said, I only do what I see my Father do. It's not I that does it, but my Father, which is in me, that does it. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in us by the Spirit. That's the way we're born again. It comes in by the Spirit. And we have all we need to walk, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to walk where God wants us to walk. And why does he want that? Revelation chapter 18. No, it's 19. Revelation 19, sorry. In verse 7, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. But he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, for his wife has made herself ready. It didn't say he was making us ready. There's something we have to do, is believe him, obey him, walk right, obey his word. Did you know why people are sick? They won't obey the word.
Amen.
That's the whole thing. Over in Exodus 15, verse 26, God said that if we'd obey him, his word, his laws, his precepts, that he would take sickness. He would put none of the diseases on us that he put on Egypt. And then in Exodus, I think it's 34:7, I forgot what chapter it is, maybe Deuteronomy 7:15, he says he'd take sickness from the midst of us if we would believe it, would obey his word. Obey his word. And we obey what of it we want to. Now, I'm not talking about everybody. I don't know what you do and what you don't do, but you do, I don't. But I know people that I deal with in my own church. It's almost like going to the cafeteria and you pick and choose what you want to eat. I say people do that in deliverance, too. They choose, I don't want to get rid of this, but I want to get rid of that. But they do that also with walking after God's in God's Word. Well, I can't do that. God, that's impossible. God says you don't have to sin. The spirit man in you will not sin. But the flesh does. So you have to put the flesh under. So the bride will make herself ready. And he's coming for a bride that is clothed clean and white, that is without spot or wrinkle. As what he did upon the cross for us was to prepare us to be the bride. Ephesians 5, and I'm close with this, chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He said, but the washing of the water of the word cleanses the bride of the spots and wrinkles. I hear people say, the Lord's coming. I know he's coming. I don't know when. The word tells us that even the angels of heaven do not know the exact time, but the word also tells us in Thessalonians that we can read the signs and that God will reveal it to his people. But the thing is, that there's something we have to do to be ready. It's to wash by the water of the Word. The Word cleanses us. It cleanses the heart. It changes us. As we read it, as we study it, as we meditate upon it, as we pray and seek the Lord. I told you about the lady in my church says she reads the Word, but she never understands the things she reads. And I said, you need to read it when your mind is fresh of a morning. Now, all the things I said was about the blood of cleansing, the blood of the Lamb. The blood brought us, purchased us by His own blood, Acts 20:28. The blood cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. Justified by His blood, reconciled, Romans 5:8-11. Saved, delivered, protected, to heal, preserve, be made whole, Romans 5:8-11. Sanctified by His own blood, Hebrews 13:12. Blood through faith, we are saved through faith in His blood and redeemed. He bought us back. He paid the ransom for us, His blood. God accepted the blood and delivered us out of the hands of the devil. We were delivered from the hands of the devil. We have authority over the powers of darkness that come to destroy. Praise the Lord. Well, I pray that you receive what the Word says, not what I say, but what the Word says, that we are God's children and He wants us to walk in power and authority. He's given us authority. He's given us all that we need to obey and walk in His Word. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give You praise, honor, and glory this afternoon, Lord. And I ask You, Father, to remove anything that's the things that I said that was not of You. If anything I said was not of You, remove it from my thoughts. But Lord, the Word, I ask You to bind it to us. The Word, Your written Word, to bind it to us that the enemy cannot steal it. In Jesus' name. And we praise You and give You glory and honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.